Just a heads up, there is some impolite language in this show. If you would prefer to hear an edited version, you can find it at KOW.org. Search for Radioactive and Queer.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your homegirl, Azeb. Just kidding, I'm not your girl, I'm my own person. Reppin' Radioactive Fall 2014.
Hey, it's Zola, your favorite host from Radioactive Summer 2015.
Nah, let's be honest, that's me.
Why you gotta do me like this?
Anyway, on some real though, spit some truth.
Alright, for this month's podcast, we'll be listening to stories about queerness, both in sexual orientation and gender identity. Gender and sexuality aren't black and white. There's a whole spectrum of preferences, identities, and many youth our age are coming to terms with that.
One of my close friends, Mylena Baez, tells us about their journey discovering themselves outside of gender.
When did you start experimenting with your physical appearance?
All right, so I started experimenting, I guess, in middle school. I think this was because there was a lot of pressure to be very feminine. Basically, I mean, we've been all raised like this, you know, like, if you're female, you do this, if you're male, you do this. I had never really known anything else, so then I never knew there was something other than male and female. So I think figuring that out was, like, this huge, like, open world to me. I was like, what? You know, there's so many different ones and, like, different labels and, like, you can just not even have one, you know. There's an option to not be anything. I think once I learned about it, I kind of realized that it kind of, like, fit to me. It didn't make me feel confused at all. It kind of clarified everything. It was kind of like everything was foggy and then it just, like, cleared the way. Like, as soon as I learned that there were other things than just female and male, I think that just, like, totally opened my view. So from then on, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do whatever I like. I had an aunt who, you know, was asking me, so, like, in terms of your sexuality, like, what are you? You know, I'm like, well, I don't really have a label. She's like, but you're gonna have to, like, come up with a set answer. And I was like, oh, that's awkward. So I don't have one. I don't know what to tell you. And so she was just like, oh, like, well, what are you going to tell to your kids, like, when you have them eventually? I'm like, okay, well, you're going to assume that I want kids, but all right. But then, you know, I was kind of like, it doesn't really matter, like, if, you know, like, it's what I go by. So, like, it's hard because you do want to give somebody an exact answer because you want them to kind of just understand instantly, especially with the topic of, like, if you don't label yourself, what are you? So that's, like, super confusing to people. So, so I get that, you know, but it's also, it's hard not to, like, want to give them a definition, definitely, but I don't know what else to give them, because, like, if I do give them a definition, it wouldn't be honest, so I'd be like, okay, like, you know, I guess I would be, like, what is it, pansexual, but then it's like, oh, I'm not really, like, what do I, you know, like, I can't edit, you know, already existing things, so I'll just have to go non-labeled, especially with gender, too, so there are a lot of people who were told me, like, oh, like, I look better before when I had longer hair. They're like, you look more feminine then. You look prettier then. You look cute. You know, like, why'd you do that? Like, why'd you cut it all off? And I was like, I don't really care. Like, I don't care about my femininity that much that where I would, like, choose not to do something. You know, I just because my the feminine side of me would get cut off, you know, like, if, let's say, I wanted to get a piercing, and let's say my feminine side was, you know, the thing I'd had to give up, like, dude, I don't care, like, I'm just doing whatever, that wouldn't hold me back, but people were like, you know, they're like, wow, you look like a guy, you look like a man. And I was kind of confused because there's a lot of negative reactions for that. They're like, but, you know, like, you're a girl, so why are you kind of looking like a guy? I was like, you know, it's just who I am. I just like expressing myself this way. I like looking this way. If I look like a boy, I look like a boy. That doesn't matter to me. And so with that, it was really fun to see how they would react. Especially family members who have known me for a long time, you know, they'd be like, wow, you, like, I thought, you know, you were my little girl, but now you look different. And, like, thanks. All right. Awkward. But there was also like the really great ones, like, you know, like you look amazing. Like no matter what you do, you look amazing. That's like, be like, oh, thank you. Or like, wow, you make, you know, you look so different from like the norms of, you know, like you don't look just feminine. You don't look just, you know, masculine. You just look cool. And I was like, thanks. Like that's definitely a compliment. So
it's really great that Mylena is being themselves. However, lots of queer people feel silenced and closeted.
Day of Silence happens in April. People stay silent to stand in solidarity with the silencing of the queer community. Mimonsa Dogra interviews the Queer Straight Alliance at Interlake High School in Bellevue about Day of Silence, coming out, and living queer.
No, no, you gotta do the accent. And over there, we see a gay.
I'm gonna poke him with a stick.
Oh, look, its homosexual tendencies are showing.
So, something that I think is kind of interesting is that, so the Day of Silence has been around for 20 years, and it started right after, like, a campaign that, you know, people were saying, like, silence is death. I started to feel like maybe the Day of Silence was more for allies than it was for queer people, because, you know, I've participated for a couple of years, and then I decided not to this year, partly because I was at home all day, and also because, like, I felt like, you know, I am silent a lot, and I feel like queer people are silent a lot, and it's supposed to be building empathy for queer people who are silent, and so I feel like it's more something for, like, cishet people to do so they can understand what we're going through.
It was really lonely, because even though you're surrounded by a bunch of people, you can't say anything to anyone, and you can try to get your point across, but it's really difficult, so you just kind of feel it in your own bubble, and it's kind of just lonely.
It's a good idea in theory, but I feel like a lot of people kind of lost the purpose. It was just try to stay quiet for as long as you can, like playing the quiet game in elementary school, and not like staying quiet for a reason so you can represent something.
Maybe something that you guys as a club next year would want to do is do a little bit more discussion and kind of education around that for just the general school and not just like in QSA where we're discussing it, but beforehand so that people would kind of know what they were doing before they started.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of like discourse about that too, where it's like, you know, like people think you get something out of like being like a transgender or whatever, you know, with queerness. So like people really do have this idea that there's like something that we get out of being queer and from like, you know, being even an ally, but it's not, like, there's no reward, kind of. But that's interesting that people, like, will expressly say that they think that that's, like, part of it, like it's a game or something.
One of my students was silent, and I said, I was so disoriented, I'm like, why are you being silent? Tomorrow's the day of silence. And she was trying to communicate, someone said, she was, like, doing something, and the other person said, we don't have school tomorrow. I go, what do you mean we don't have school tomorrow? This is a regular week. It's not like we have Friday off. And they said, oh, tomorrow's Saturday. So, like, I just completely, like, spaced. Although I do know, I think Miss Labanissaire, the...
Miss Labanissaire, yeah, she...
She does it. She apparently she did it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, so she's one teacher who actually has changed her whole class to respect the day. So that's kind of cool.
I used to live in Texas, so
I think if I tried to do this in Texas, I was surprised by how many people were like, oh, you're doing Day of Silence? That's so cool. I was like, I was kind of thinking to myself, like, do they know what this is? Do they know that this involves queer people? Because I'm not used to, like, such a wide range of acceptance.
Okay, so any thoughts about coming out?
I think that, like, there is a reason that Coming Out Day has kind of died and, like, celebrities don't do that. Because there was for a while, like, a thing where, you know, there would be, like, a big day and everybody would come out and it was this big, like, oh, look, all these people are gay. And I think that kind of what we're moving toward now is this, like, idea of living out rather than coming out. Because it is important to be visible because then, like, young people and, like, people who are, you know, in different situations can see that there are queer people who are happy and, like, alive. And I know, like, you know, when I was like, oh, I've gone on testosterone, I had all these people, like, gasp and be like, that's a thing that happens to people who are real and, like, in the world. So, like, that's important. But I think that it's more, like, just talking about it casually and being like, oh yes, you know, I have a partner of the same gender, or oh, that person is really attractive or whatever, is kind of a better way to do it now, because there is a certain amount of like reinforcing heteronormativity if you're saying like, hello, I am different, in like a very official way. But if you're just like making it something that people are aware of, then people will see it, like the people who need to see it will see it.
While some people use silence as a form of resistance, others use poetry as a way to fight back.
Azeb went to You Speak's open mic at the Station Cafe in Beacon Hill and listened to Galaxy Marshall read this poem.
How to be a teen villain in 7 easy steps. Step 1, find your protagonist. Here, contrast is key. She will have brown hair to your blonde, ripped jeans to your miniskirts. She will be not like the other girls. Well, your main crime is being like the other girls. Step 2, get a guy. His name is Blake or Josh or Chad, and he's the dreamiest guy in the whole school. He plays footballs and hangs with the guys. The protagonist has liked him since 6th grade, and because she has glasses, we will cheer when he leaves you. Step 3. Hate your friends. Every compliment is backhanded, every word is carefully measured, everyone wants to be near you, but you can't imagine feeling so lonely. Step 4. Dress the part. Wear feminine clothes, as much pink as possible, show skin. Remember, you are not dressing for yourself, you are dressing for the boys drooling in the halls, and for young girls internalizing a hatred for women. Step 5. Be pretty, not beautiful. Pretty. Force yourself into a Barbie-shaped cutout. You cannot be unique. Do not experiment with your makeup. Cover your freckles. Wear contact lenses. Pour your soul into a mold. Do not stray from how you are required to look. Your power comes from your ability to squeeze into this mold. Step 6. Do not expect empathy. When you fall, do not expect anyone to help you up. They will laugh at you and cheer at your misfortune. When you became how you are, you lose your humanity. Step 7. Never forget why you are there. Teach young girls who they must be. When the producers greenlit you, they were not looking for a complex character. They were looking for someone to remind girls how they should grow up to be and who they should grow up hating. You were given crash diet, short skirts, blue eyes, and constant silent suffering. So the boys, the brothers at home, could have someone to think about at night, and the girls at home could have someone to worry about when they couldn't sleep. You were never written to be there for the girls. You will be touted as a feminist character. Your movie will be touted as feminist because when you destroyed the women around you, at least you were empowering yourself. When the main character destroyed you, at least she was empowering herself. When she went to the boy, she kissed him first. And really, isn't that all feminism will ever be about?
Poetry is an expression for some people. At Youth Speaks Open Mic, I met Violet Siblisa, who used it as a tool to understand her emotions.
I didn't really feel like my voice was powerful until I started doing poetry and I started going to protests. Nobody listens to black people, nobody listens to queer people, and nobody listens to women. And if you're all of those things, they really just try not to hear you at all.
Yeah.
But to be like in spaces where I could say things and know that it would touch so many people was really just empowering. And when you have that kind of power, I feel like it can strengthen you, I guess. And that has helped me get past things. I would tell myself not to invalidate my experiences, because I think that's one of the most harmful things you can do. And I'd say just like, I'm gonna make mistakes, and I'm gonna be a dick, and other people are gonna be a dick to me. And I would say just do all the things that I love to do and just be unapologetic about it. Not to listen to middle school boys, or white boys, or boys. Just not listen to bigoted ass. And also not to forget that I'm black and that the femininity that I want to present is valid and that I can be a woman.
Shout out to all my fans.
What fans?
Thanks for listening. Check out my mixtape. Link in the bio. It's on SoundCloud. Get it for not free.
What? Get it for not free. Everything on SoundCloud is super freak. Super freak.
No, they have like money freak. Now. Money SoundCloud now.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks to our executive producers, Mamansa Dogra and Hassan Abdi.
Thanks to our editor, Jenny Asarno. Thanks to Paul Kiefer for helping us out and all the other radio activities.
Check out our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter.
Check it out. Give me a beat. Rain or shine, night or day, listen to our podcast. Please, I'm begging you. We worked really hard on this.
Pull yourself together.
Okay.
Thank you.